That's the first person who's Jack's gonna be there. Jack would be on that list. You know, if you want to throw the alternates on versus two or four, you can mess around. Let's keep the clock on the horses.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. James Westminster on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Although the date is the 24th, this service is not technically a Christmas Eve service. We are doing Advent 4 in the morning and Christmas Eve when the sun goes down and it's actually the eve of Christmas. So this is an Advent 4 service, but you are most welcome to be here. It will be glorious. So welcome to St. James on this Sunday.
Love shines in the darkness. It sings in the shadows. It will not cower and cannot be contained.
It was the hope of the saints, the call of the prophets, It was the fire in the belly of John the Baptist.
It was in the faith and love of his mother Elizabeth, and in the courage of Jesus' mother Mary.
Lamp in the window, beacon on the hill, star in the night sky, love, you lead us home.
We light the candle of love. May it light the way.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who chose the Virgin Mary, full of grace, to be the mother of our Lord and Savior, now fill us with your grace, that we in all things may embrace your will, and with her rejoice in your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of 2 Samuel. When the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Make us a still place of light, a still place of love, of you, your love radiating, your light vibrating, your touch and your healing far flung and near to the myriads caught in darkness, in lostness, in fear. Make a heart center here, light of the world. Well, we've made our Advent journey, and we find ourselves not one more week, but hours away from standing together at the stable door with the shepherds and the angels and an assortment of farm animals witnessing the birth of Jesus. And then, of course, there's Joseph standing guard and Mary. Let's consider the figure of Mary from our nativity set. Even though you can't see her from where you're seated, you know what she looks like. She's kneeling, her head is bowed, her arms are crossed, and she's worshiping the newborn child, quiet and pondering all these things in her heart. Her robes are looking pretty good for all the traveling, shelter-seeking, and birthing that have transpired. I recall my grade 3 Christmas pageant where I was dressed in my house coat and a towel as a member of the crowd, gazing on with perhaps a tinge of longing at Dorothy Manders, who got to be Mary because her mother could sew, and robed in a long, trailing gown of shiny pale blue lined with pink that quite literally swallowed her alive. It was magnificent, but hardly practical for the reasons already listed. I find today it's hard to put together this typical depiction of Mary, quiet, acquiescent, and obedient, with a young peasant woman who is visited by an angel, no less, and after the visit goes on to sing a song in which God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. Can we picture her? Is she sitting quietly in awe and wonder, or is she in the tradition of her biblical ancestors like Miriam and Hannah, standing, arms raised, tambourine at the ready, singing a song in thanksgiving for justice and deliverance? This is really radical stuff to be singing in a time of danger and unrest under Roman occupation. The song she sings is of a world about to be turned upside down, where the marginalized will be seen, heard, and delivered. Not something we'd expect from the Virgin Mary, meek and mild. Listen to the words we've heard this Advent and other Advents. Lord, you are the potter, and we are the clay. Comfort, comfort my people. Prepare the way of the Lord. The days are surely coming. I will cause a righteous branch to shoot up. Take off the garment of sorrow and affliction. He is like a refiner's fire. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And a little child will lead them. Mary answers Gabriel, let it be with me according to your plan. Yes. Mary's answer of yes, followed by her song, casts her as one who acts as a signpost pointing to God, a prophet in her own right, and one who gives clear, unequivocal consent to be the bearer of God. But let's look at Mary the prophet. There she is, Mary the prophet. What do you see on the screen? Or some of you have a small image that you received when you came in. A young woman, a woman of color, a woman with a set gaze right out at us, covered in stars, celestial beauty, galaxies, hands that look like they're trying to embrace us all, or it all. The title of the work by Kelly Lattimore, who is a contemporary icon artist, is Mary, Love Forever Being Born. It was released digitally last week, a very contemporary icon. An icon simply means likeness, and Lattimore is very much influenced by Christian icons that we've all seen. They're around us all the time in churches, and if you've been to the Holy Land or any place like that, lots of gold, set gaze out at the viewer. An icon is a window into God. She's modeled on those old icons of mother and child, theotokos, I think is the word, or podagiatria, which just means lady of the way. She gazes out at us, head slightly inclined to the child she holds in her arms. This Mary holds not a child, but the cosmos, infinite, a time out of time for all time. She is filled with a vastness beyond imagination. Have you ever looked up at the night sky unimpeded by the light of buildings and street lamps? Whenever we talk about it at camp, a young person will invariably say, "It is so big. And I am so little." Not, however, in a diminishing way. It's more of a dawning realization that the world is a lot bigger than we are, and we are part of something
fearfully, wonderfully, and marvelously made. Love forever being born points to the birth of Christ being as big as the universe, stretched out and covering all creatures and all creation. The paradox is that the movement of the one who first flung stars into the darkness in such a cataclysmic manner chose and chooses to creep into our lives as a tiny, helpless baby, raised not by royalty with servants and tutors and all manner of wealth and opportunity, but by a peasant girl and a carpenter. The birthing and raising of the Holy Child will unfold in homely, everyday ways. Hear the gospel story again. Hail and greetings, favored ones. God be with you. I am here to bring you good news, news that will change the world, news that 2,000 years ago changed everything. I'm Gabriel, God's messenger, sent here among you to tell you a story. It only seems like yesterday that I appeared in her garden. It wasn't much, a well-picked patch for plants and herbs, some vegetables. There was a small wall of stones to keep out animals or the punishing hooves of the soldiers' horses. She was humming to herself while bent over digging in the earth, and she turned, sized me up, and sensing I meant no harm, smiled up at me. Such a wonderful smile, even though she had never met me. She pushed her hair back from where it hung over her eye to better look at me. I said, "Greetings, favored one." She frowned a little. She felt strange being called so, but really, aren't all God's children beloved, God's favored ones? I smiled and held out my hand to help her up. I remember dirt under her fingernails when she readily reached out to take it. Her grip was strong. Her hand felt rough for one so young. She offered me water to drink, and I was glad. I had been on such a long, long journey. We sat in the shade of a tree, quiet for some time. Even the sound of the soldiers seemed to fade away. Somewhere in the distance, a bird sang. The leaves rustled in the soft breeze. There must have been an animal pen close by because I heard the bleating of sheep. Sitting with her, I could see and hear and smell God's wondrous creation all around us. I began to speak, and she leaned in very close to hear my words. How still she was as she listened to the message. Her eyes held mine. The way she looked at me, it's as if those eyes had seen a lifetime, even though she was still a young girl. When I told her she would have a baby, the Son of God, she caught her breath for a moment, and then she reached out and touched my sleeve, asking, "How can this be?" I told her mysterious and wonderful things, that even her older cousin Elizabeth would have a son, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then in a moment, a split second, a heartbeat, a twinkling of a star, in a time that was no time, yet full of waiting, longing and yearning, yet full of possibility, she said, "Here I am, God's servant. Let it be with me according to your word." We sat a little longer. I took her hands in mine and squeezed them. We stood up. I bowed to her, and she to me. I left in that still silence. On the way home, I turned back to look over my shoulder, and there in the middle of her garden, the young woman Mary, full of grace, sang and danced. And yet, and yet, and yet, what about war? What about political unrest, poverty, homelessness, death, destruction? How could she sing and dance? And today, how can we? Church services in Jerusalem have been canceled. The morning news cycle on CBC reports the square in Bethlehem, usually full of pilgrims and tourists, is empty. And at the Lutheran church, worshipers gather around a nativity set in which the baby Jesus is perched among a pile of rubble. There is so much turbulence the world over. Maybe God should just wait until things have settled down. In the words of Madeleine L'Engle, "This is not time for a child to be born, with the earth betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn that the time runs out and the sun burns late. This was not the time for a child to be born, in a land in the crushing grip of Rome. Honor and truth were trampled by scorn. Yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on planet Earth. And by a comet, the sky is torn. Yet love still takes the risk of birth. Yet love still takes the risk of birth. In this time and in this place. And not only in this place, but out there beyond these doors. Let us set Mary back in her place in the manger. But I'm also going to set some small images of the icon we see before us. When you come up for communion or at the conclusion of the service, you're invited to take a moment to pass by, say a prayer, consider the amazing story of a humble birth that changes everything, and take the little icons home, a small reminder of a huge gift of God, whose love stretches all around us and nestles deep inside us. Let us take the risk of birth. Can we? Can each of us take the risk of being the bearer of God? Of love incarnate? Let it be. Let us be the bearers of compassion, the bearers of empathy, the bearers of grace, the bearers of justice, the bearers of peace in this place, our homes, our schools, our workplaces, our gathering spaces, and beyond. And as everything is possible with God, let us be filled with all that is wonderful, all that is possible. All that is yes. Here we are, God's servants. Let it be with us according to your word. Amen.
Please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
I'd invite you to adopt a position of prayer.
Angel sender, you ask a woman child to be the mother of God, and a carpenter to shelter her from ridicule and to parent her child. Your angel told them not to be afraid, and they consented to do your will. As you did with Mary and Joseph, you ask of us the unimaginable. You pull us outside of our comfort zones, but you do not leave us there alone. Holy Spirit, come upon us, make us pregnant with your new life. For nothing is impossible with you, O God. We pray for the Church Universal that we may be your willing servants, singing your praise and doing your will. We pray for leaders and followers in all faiths and traditions to seek the common good and use our gifts of faith to cherish the earth and all its peoples and all its creatures. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Make us pregnant with your new life.
For nothing is impossible with you, O God.
You who knock mighty ones from their high places, we pray for leaders of nations and movements and for those with great influence or power. We are afraid. Afraid of those blinded to the needs of humanity by their drive for domination. We fear for those who make war. May your divine reversal elevate the humble and deprived. Bring peace in our time. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Make us pregnant with your new life. For nothing is impossible with you, O God. Creator, we pray for the world so scarred and disordered by our unchecked appetites. We have fracked the earth to the brink of destruction to satisfy our appetite for oil. We have polluted our waterways and eradicated species of every type of creature. Give us the will and the means to protect and restore our home, this beautiful planet. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Make us pregnant with your new life. For nothing is impossible with you, O God. You who fill the hungry with good things, we pray for our community and our parish. The hunger is great, not only for food, but for homes, for opportunities, for acceptance and belonging, for the chance to contribute in meaningful ways. We hold our holy hungers before your grace. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Make us pregnant with your new life.
For nothing
is impossible with you, O God. Merciful One, give relief and comfort to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. For those who have asked for our prayers, we pray. For Sylvia Brightwell, for Eunice Smith, for Liz Bailey, for Ashley, and for Jamie, and for those on our hearts, especially those for whom peace and joy seem impossible, for those whose sorrows are known by only you. Holy Spirit, come upon them, make them pregnant with your new life. For nothing is impossible with you, O God. We remember those who have died, and we pray for those close to death and all who mourn near or far. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Receive them into your new life. For nothing is impossible with you, O God. Holy is your name, O God. You take what is dry and barren and turn it into something new and alive. You turn our expectations and conventions upside down and shower mercy upon us. May your creative spirit find a home in us. May we say yes to you. We rejoice in you, tiny child, holy mother, and savior. Amen.
Amen. My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples and said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Thank you. come sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun. But our journey just begun, she flies on. And in the passage of her flight, her song rings out through the night, full of laughter, full of light, she flies on. Silent waters rocking on the morning of our birth, like an empty cradle waiting to be filled. And from the heart of God, the Spirit moved upon the earth, like a mother breathing life into her child. Many were the dreamers whose eyes were given sight when the Spirit
Let us pray. Gracious God, by the power of the Spirit, who sanctified the mother of your Son, make holy all we offer you this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened the path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom, and through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. The Lord, you take away the sin of the world.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in this sacrament we receive the promise of salvation. May we, like the Virgin Mary, be obedient to your will. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine.
Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Be steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and untiring in love all the days of your life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Look at that.